This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To Australia, to Jeremy Zakas, reporting in New South Wales. The weather, the climate, the rain, the heat, all of this adds up to snakes. Jeremy, a very good day to you. Now, carpet pythons, I've learned to respect because they hide in roofs, they hide in houses, they come out, and they do not bite venomously. They bite, though, I learned for the first time. What is characterized in the film clip I saw as a bitey python wrapped around a rain drain, and the snake catcher is on the scene reaching up for him. And then, is this something you've seen, pythons snapping back? I thought they just run away. Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, this is something I've actually seen myself, and this is why when I say I don't like snakes, I don't just mean the venomous ones. I mean literally all snakes. Pythons, while they don't have the venom, while they won't kill you with toxins, basically, but what they do is they bite. And when they bite hard. And not only are they biting, as you can see in the film clip there, they are actually striking as well. So they have a lot of very, very strong muscles in their body where they can actually lash out very quickly and bite their prey and retract. So in this video, this shows exactly the dangers of a python and why even if you do identify a snake or see it on your property and you know it's not toxic, you leave it alone. Because in this particular case, the snake was hanging off the pipe there and the snake catcher knew what he was doing. He actually had approached very, very calmly. He had not worked the snake up. He had basically tried to do everything he could to ensure the snake wasn't going to be energetic and basically be a pain when he picked it up. However, the snake did defend itself. And as you can see by the sheer speed that it came out at him at, the snake catcher barely got away without getting any skin ripped off. And not only did it do it once, it did it multiple times because pythons, their best weapon is speed and teeth. Their fangs are very, very sharp. So, John, if he had have got bitten, and I've had friends who've had pythons as pets because they're licensed reptile holders, if he had have got bitten, the bite would have been relatively severe. Most people who get bitten by a python actually end up having stitches and then having to take antibiotics to control the different sort of like diseases that you're going to get off it and the infection. So, John, snakes are horrible. All of them. Pythons aren't safe by any means. And this video really shows exactly what a python is capable of.
Now, the python, according to the video, had just eaten a bird, so he didn't want to be disturbed in his dinner. He also knew that he was hanging around human beings. It looked like he'd done this before. Very impressive. And then when he saw the snake catcher was not intimidated, he turned around and tried to, well, they don't run away. He was fleeing. Fleeing. The snake catcher, realizing he was on video, so this is professional license here, grabbed him with one arm, and the snake continued to flee. Two arms, he pulled him back over. The snake was having none of it. All right, fine, you want me back? I'm going to bite you. Whip, 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 whip. And they, first time I've realized, they carry a big bag that appears to be bite-proof. What is that bag? Is that heavy cloth? Is that rubber? What is it?
That bag actually is normally, it's a mixture of either hessian and asbestos, or it is, as you said, it's actually very heavy fabric. So they're basically made quite thick too. It's not just your regular hessian bag that you get at any, say, supermarket or on a farm. They're actually quite thick to prevent the fangs going through because the bags have to contain the bitey thing, which in a snake is a very, very long and sharp fang. So you normally don't see that in the videos as well, John, and you pointed it out, but the bag is always not far behind because as soon as you get the snake under control, or even if it's out of control, you have to get it in the bag. That's the only way to contain them.
That's a very strong animal. I have that snake impressed me because we'd seen carpet pythons before, but they were always sort of laying there digesting something. This one, he was ready to rock and roll. Okay, fine. Now we go to another video that was, what do you do? This is like Australia fun, right? Snake videos. They compile them at night, so everybody goes, let's go to the videotape, and you see another weird snake activity. Okay, this one, there was a ceiling. And it had a light in it, and so the snake catcher had a hold of a python. And he kept pulling and pulling, and the python got getting bigger and bigger. And then when the python came out, a possum came out of the hole too, the same hole. Now I don't know if that possum was supposed to be dinner or not, or whether the snake was the possum's dinner. Do possums attack snakes?
No, John, actually, it's definitely probably true that the snake was actually after the possum, because unfortunately, possums, they are strong, but they're just no match for a snake. And I think what we saw here was the snake was interrupted probably only moments away from eating that poor little possum there. So I think this was the possum's lucky day. Yeah, no beef about it.
All right, now a snake catcher comes to his senses and retires. He does not look happy, Jeremy. How many, he's been bitten too many times, and even snake catchers must have a lifetime limit of how much venom they can absorb?
Well, this is true, John. This is what makes the case very interesting. This is actually a snake catcher on the Gold Coast. So we're talking about Queensland, Brisbane, which has some of the worst snakes you can possibly imagine, brown snakes, red-bellied black snakes. And this particular snake catcher had been doing it for around about 30 years. He's literally caught thousands and thousands of snakes. But the problem is that just recently he was bitten by a great eastern brown snake for the third time. And the reason now that he says he has to retire is he's been told by the doctors that over the course of the three bites, the body retained some of the venom in there, retained some of the toxins. So while he was able to this time get away with it, if he gets bitten one more time, it is almost assured they won't be able to do anything for him. He will literally succumb to the snake bite and die. And the interesting part was too that each time that he was bitten, so this being number three, he was in hospital slightly longer. So the first one, he was apparently only in hospital for a few days. The second one, it was around about a week. This time, he actually ended up in hospital for 9 whole days in intensive care. So he was on a kind of dialysis machine that the bloods were being refreshed through his body, and he was getting a lot of antivenin. So as much as he does not want to retire, and you can certainly see in the photos there, he's not happy. He knows he has to. And the interesting thing is, too, he's still getting calls from his clients wanting him to come out, but he's actually having to tell them, no, I can't. This is just life-threatening now. If I get bitten again, I'm done. So there is a limit. There is a limit. Magic three, it turns out.
One of the joys of life is knowing when to retire. Okay, so we go to where this happened. Are you near Forbes in New South Wales?
Forbes is actually not that far away, and Forbes is actually up near the Queensland border, so it's only say about 3 hours drive from here. So I certainly know exactly the area, and to paint a picture to us, a very very rural area that has a lot of creeks and a lot of heavy scrub. So a lot of the housing in some of those rural areas is near the bushland, which means for him it would have been an incredibly lucrative career, which is probably why he doesn't want to actually leave.
I was stepping over a wire fence to put it in a bag in my ute when my foot caught in the fence. I looked down to see what had happened when the snake bit me on the hand. So he was, these snake catchers, they're barehanded against an eastern brown, probably a large eastern brown. Okay, now a new creature. I hadn't entertained this one. We've had mice. We certainly have lots of marsupials, kangaroos bigger than me, who can knock me down. We have a variety of birds that will attack. We have the snakes, and now we have crickets. I wasn't ready for this. Australia is living under plagues. Crickets everywhere. In Melbourne, does that make sense? Melbourne crickets?
John, this doesn't make sense. In fact, it's quite an astounding story. Crickets are something we do get here in Australia in large proportions up in the rural areas. So, say Victoria, where Melbourne is, you top normally see them in the very, very far out country reaches in the northern part of the state, well away from the city. Across New South Wales here, you get them on the farms. They're everywhere, especially after the floods. And with the weather we're having, it's a common sight. But the interesting thing about Melbourne is that it's actually quite cold most of the time, and it's actually cooler and not really humid enough for crickets to kind of want to go to. But for whatever reason, in the past month or 2 months, crickets have been breeding out of control near the city itself. So what's now happening is that crickets are not only in the farmland areas of Victoria, they've now moved into the city of Melbourne. And cities aren't made for crickets. You can imagine these little creatures. I mean, not only the noise they make, but they're getting caught up in all sorts of things. So crickets cause problems for trains because they get on the tracks and they actually create slippage conditions. They get in all sorts of machinery. They're getting into apartment buildings. They're getting all through the different sort of infrastructure in the city itself. And they're actually becoming quite a pest. So, John, we've never really seen crickets in Melbourne apart from the odd one here and there, certainly not like this. But it looks like it's almost plague proportion. So I don't know what's next. Maybe Sydney. Maybe we've got to watch out as well now, because if they can get Melbourne, they certainly can get Sydney.
Right. It reminded me of a very famous short story that was turned into, I believe, a Charlton Heston movie about an attack of red ants overwhelming a plantation in South America and how our hero fought them, eventually had to open the floodgates to rid himself of the red ants. I would say, Jeremy, the crickets are coming. There's no, re there's, if they're going to a place where they're not supposed to be, they're going everywhere. So whatever else Australia is doing, you better start sacrificing to some new gods. All right, we leave behind the creatures that are trying to kill you, and we turn to something straightforward like sport. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.